Hey
Hi,
guys.
Queens.
Welcome back. We missed you guys last
Yes,
week.
we had a little
It's been a
skip
minute.
week,
A little
but
break. It was nice. Just like a little break is always nice every once in a while. But we're back.
yes, we're back. We're back, and
And
it's
it's
a
a busy
busy
week.
week. Yep.
Kind of stressful, but trying not to think too much about it, just kind of like breaking it down day by day. It is Coachella week, ladies. This is the West Coast Olympics for
Yeah,
bloggers. Like, this
literally
is
the
it,
Influencer
you
Olympics. That's what
guys.
Coachella is.
Yeah. And it's not even just Coachella. There are so many things in LA leading up to it. So, like, this week we're going to LA Tuesday, and I think we literally have six events. I don't know if we're gonna make it to everything, but there's so much going on. There was so much going on last week as well.
Yeah, it's like a
And then
3 week thing leading up to Coachella.
I
In
feel like it always
LA.
is. And then brands like also just want to do their spring things at the same time. And I'm just kind of like, why? Can we
Yeah.
wait like till after? Like
That's
everyone just
true.
tries to cram everything in. So yeah, obviously not complaining. We're super excited and feel super lucky and grateful that these brands invite us to all of this and that we have the opportunity to do that. And we couldn't do this without a community like you guys. So thank you so much for always being here and supporting us. We love you guys so much. And yeah, I guess like we'll just kind of dive into some updates and our influences of the week. This week's episode, we're talking about just like what brands are looking for. I don't know if we've done an episode specifically on this yet, but I feel like this is just kind of a good refresher on information. Or if you're newer to the industry, I think this is like really good information to kind of create a strategy for your brand and your business and like how to find brands to work with that like organically match you. Because I feel like sometimes people, including myself, like have that scarcity mindset of like, oh my gosh, like I need to work with this brand. But then it's like, actually, it doesn't really make sense. So, like, why force things that aren't meant to be? So, we'll dive into that, but just some quick updates. It's Coachella week. We have a bunch of events we're really excited about. I'm getting my blood drawn, which I'm actually really excited about because I did this 2 years ago, I think. It's kind of been a minute, but this is what I did when I learned that I had a dairy and gluten sensitivity. So I'm redoing my blood panels. There's like so many tests. I'm doing the hormone testing just to test hormone levels, I think. The wheat zoomers, which tests wheat and gluten. The nutrient deficiency, I think it's called. And that's like vitamins like A, B, C, D, E, magnesium, all those things. And then just like normal, like regular blood work done just to check for health. And I'm actually really excited to kind of see what the results say and to kind of get back on track with that and just being consistent with supplements, vitamins, diet, and all that kind of stuff. Because I feel like when I am following the plan that the doctor gives me, that's when I feel my best. So I'm really excited for that. And it's a naturopathic doctor too, which I really love because I don't know. I feel like when I go to the doctors these days, they literally just force medication on you. And I'm like, I really
True.
don't want to take that. Like, that's not what I'm going for. Like, I actually want to get to the root of the problem and not just like cover it with a band-aid, you know? So, really excited to dive deep. So, I'll keep you guys posted and I'll probably post about it on stories and give little updates too. But I feel like when it comes to health, like, it's so important to kind of know what's going on within your body. So, really excited about that. But
Love
do you have any
that.
updates?
I just got back. Well, a big reason why we skipped a week is because I was in Hawaii. So I just got back from that. And I'm just making that my influence of the week, honestly. So
Love that.
maybe I should just
Okay, let's just
jump
dive into
in.
that then.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I went to Maui with my husband and his. It still sounds so weird for me to say husband. And it's been like a year. Two? Oh my God, two. Okay,
It'll be
anyways.
two in August. Crazy.
Yes, with his family, and we spent like a little more than a week in Hawaii, and it was really cute. We went to Maui, and at first I was like, okay, like cute little beach town. We didn't really do much for the first 2 days. And then I didn't understand the love for Maui until I went to Rota Hana. And that was literally the prettiest thing I've ever seen. Like one of the, like in the top prettiest things I've ever seen is, wait, have you been to Maui? I forget.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Rota Hana is like insane. I'm like, it looks like a fairy land. That's like the best. If I was a fairy, I would live in Hana. Like it was just so,
love that.
So beautiful. So much beautiful nature. It's very different. So I thought that was like a really unique thing for that I've seen in Hawaii and especially Maui. And then we woke up for sunrise. Like we did like the typical Maui things. It's like the sunrise in Haleakala, which is the top of the volcano, and it's 10,000 feet up, I think. That was really pretty. It was just so early. We had to get up at 3 a.m.
Did like everybody go?
Yes.
Dang.
Yes. And yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. Like we did lots of hike. It was a lot. It was a very active trip. I was like in the middle of the trip. I was like, Alyssa would be laughing right now because I'm not kidding. There, we did not like lay out at the beach. Like that's not what my husband's family does. Like they go on hikes and they, it's like jam-packed.
They're very
days.
Active people.
So active. So yeah, it was a very active trip. I got back and I was like, Josh, I'm literally going to have a vacation from this vacation leading up to Coachella. Like I'm literally exhausted. So
yeah.
Dang. But it was super fun. We had the best food. Oh my God. I had fish like every single day. So much fish. Yay. I loved the fish there. I had so much mahi. So many food trucks. It's just really cute. It was just like a really cute vibe. I really loved it.
Did you eat shrimp or not?
I like, no. It was mainly just the fish, like mahi, and I liked ahi. I pretty much ate mahi and ahi the entire time. So, yeah, it was just like a fun vibe, fun little taste of summer. I was pulling out my coconut girl aesthetic.
So cute.
Yeah.
Love that.
But yeah, so that's my influence of the week. My influence of the week is Rota Hana. If you go to Maui, do the Rota Hana. It's insane. It's so beautiful. And you have to sit on the left side. Like, because I just don't know. I felt so bad for everyone else. I had the best seat in the car. My head was out the window the entire time. I just saw it all. It was amazing.
Love that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes. So that was great. And yeah, what is your influence of the week?
My influence of the week. Well, I feel like we had very opposite weeks. Andrew was out of town. He was visiting his family in Utah and he went skiing with his brother-in-law and they just had the best of time. And I stayed home because I was like, I need to do this like purge of my closet. Like I still have boxes that I haven't unpacked from our move and like hadn't really gone through stuff. So I was like, okay, he's gonna leave for a week. I'm gonna have like my me time. I'm gonna be in my zone. I'm gonna like play my music. Like it's just gonna be me. I can make my piles. Like no one's gonna get in my way. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, setting your own vibe. And so I literally just like worked on that and I have like 15 bags of clothes that I'm getting rid of. And if you know me, that's so difficult. I talked about this with my therapist this past week. It's like I put like memory, I attach memories to physical things. So like outfits, like my literally my high school graduation dress, can't get rid of that. My,
oh my
college
God,
graduation dress,
so
cannot
funny.
Get rid of that. Okay,
I don't
like,
even remember what.
Like dress were. I got engaged in, like not getting rid of that. Like I just, you know, attach the, and I literally, this is going to sound so silly and I don't even know if this is going to make me sound crazy, but I have like, okay, I feel like growing up, because our parents didn't live in like a digital age like we did, they like saved paper receipts for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then like, so like, I think that's where I picked up the habit where I like save all my like, not like receipts, but like my order forms from like when I buy something online and like the order thing comes in. I like save all those receipts and like put it in my nice little box. And like at the end of the year, I have like my 2023, whatever, like box of receipts. But I was like, because we moved, I had like all my old papers from like whatever, 2018 probably. And I was like going through them, trying to get rid of ones that like I don't need. And like I literally was like holding on to these receipts because I was like, oh my God, this is the first time that I worked with this brand and they sent me this order. Like I have to keep this receipt for like the memory. And I was talking to my therapist about it, and as I was like trying to explain to her, I was like, it just like feels like, you know, I worked so hard to like work with this brand that when it finally happened, it felt like such an accomplishment. Yeah. And so I attached that accomplishment to this piece of paper. And like, we really talked about that, and we like broke it down, and like, it's okay to keep some things, but like a lot of like, it is clutter and it's like creating chaos in your life, and you have to like purge, because the more that you like get rid of and like give away, the universe gives back tenfold, which we already know. And so I need to like make space for like new stuff and like just like declutter my life. So there was like a lot going on in this conversation, but I grasped like a really good understanding of why I am the way I am. That's with that. Good. And like, it was just like so interesting because we went so deep as to like, I wore a uniform in high school, so I never got to really have a sense of personal style. Mm. So that when I went to college and I actually got to like pick up my wardrobe for the first time, I like went crazy because like never knew what that felt like. And it was just like so exciting. And then like,
true.
So then I would work hard for these things. So then I'm like, I can't get rid of this item because I worked so hard for it to purchase it that I can't like let it go.
Yeah.
Because then I, you know what I mean? So it was just like, oh, there's a lot going on there. But starting to work through that, starting to understand like it, and starting to be like, okay,
be aware of.
Like letting go. So that was like kind of like a sneak inside peek of like what my therapy session was this past weekend. But yeah, so like lots of purging, and I just like, I don't know, like there's also like this guilt around things of like letting things go that like mm-hmm. people give me or like brands gift me, because then I like feel bad that I'm like not grateful or something. But it's like, she was like, you have to be like, thank you so much for this opportunity, and then like let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just, it was really great. I love her.
Oh my gosh, that's so super, she like really put things
in perspective.
Yeah.
So then I was like super inspired from this session, and it really helped me like purge a bunch of things. And so I like posted on my stories, and I know I have a couple of people like asking like, oh my gosh, like do you sell on Poshmark? Like, are you gonna have a closet sale? And like, I truly wish I had the time and energy and like brain capacity to do that. But unfortunately, my goal right now is to just literally get it out of my house, like out of sight, out of mind vibes. Like I just like need to get it under control first and purge. And then once I'm at a more like controlled level, mm-hmm. then maybe I'll do something like that. But like at this point, I just share, or I send all my stuff to Detour, which is like an influencer thrift store in LA, and I sell through there because that's just the easiest solution for me at the moment. But
yeah,
that's what my week consisted of. I don't think I really left my house except to go to Pilates and occasionally get food / use Postmates. So
love that. I just really need to do a closet clean out.
Nice.
I'm sitting in a pile of clutter right now. Like, it's actually really bad. Let me show you. Like
I can't. Honestly, that's literally what my office still looks like. I definitely still have more progress to do, and like, but I like made progress. And so again, my therapist is like, give yourself grace,
yeah,
be proud of yourself for the progress that you've made, and like just keep going and keep doing your best. Because it's like, it just sounds so silly, but it's like such an emotionally draining process for me, because we also deep dived into like, how to have my childhood home anymore because my parents are divorced. Yes. And I have this whole box of like all my childhood memories. And then like, that's obviously emotional and going through that stuff. And you're like, what do I keep? What do I give away? Like, what am I going to show my future children? Like, therapy really go deep into things that you like didn't realize was a thing. And then you realize it is a thing. And
exactly.
Then it explains so freaking much. So yeah,
love that.
That's what therapy's like if you've never been.
So. Love therapy, truly best thing ever, best investment ever made.
So yeah, that is my influence of the week. It's just a closet clean out, purging,
spring cleaning. Truly, you're doing spring cleaning.
Yeah,
love that.
Love that. Okay, yeah, that was me. So you guys are probably like, whoa, that was way too much.
No,
it was Monday, but it's fine. Okay. Diving in to our episode this week. Again, really excited about this topic, and I feel like it's really good information and kind of just like a reevaluation of where you are with your business, with your brand, how you're presenting yourself to brands, how brands are looking at you and seeing you. And yeah, I feel like we have some really good tips in here. So we can just dive in and kind of start with what brands are looking for when, you know, choosing talent to work with. I feel like it's so interesting to think about because when we first started, there weren't as many creators in the space, but there weren't as many opportunities either. But now there are like so many creators in like so many different niches and industries, but there's also way more opportunities and way more brands who have, you know, influencer budgets and whatnot. So I feel like it's so interesting to see when like brands pick creators to work on certain campaigns.
True. Like, and like what you just said, like the priorities were so different in like 5 years ago than what they are now.
Which honestly is a good thing. I feel
It's like a really good
5 years ago, it was like, oh,
all they cared about was following
100K. Yes.
Following like, and minimum 100K. Yeah, they didn't care what your engagement was. They didn't care about
Had under 10K and you like could not have the link clicks, like you didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very so like quantity over quality, and now it's quality over quantity, and priorities are so different. And it's so much more equal. Like micro influencers are getting amazing brand deals, like sometimes even higher than the girls in like the hundreds, thousands vibe. Yeah. So yeah, different priorities now.
Yeah, I think just from like, you know, I feel like we're always, you know, chatting with other people in the industry, or we're like asking our management questions, and just kind of, I feel like we're like, me and you, we like really are always like observing things and just like seeing like what's going on in the industry, like who's doing what campaign, and like, you know, what brands have campaigns. Like we're always saving things too. Like, for example, like when we go to New York Fashion Week, like we try to keep tags on like what brands are activating so that the next year we actually can like reach out beforehand to see if they're doing anything. Cause like, because we don't live in New York, we don't really have those specific connections. So then it's like next year we can reach out ahead of time and be like, hey, like saw you guys activate last year. Are you going to be doing anything again this year? You know? And so we're like always just like observing and like any kind of event, or like even Coachella too, like just seeing like who activated last year, what are brands doing? Like we're always just very like, I don't know. I feel like I'm always just noticing things.
Observant girlies. Yeah.
So
I feel like brands, from like what I've gathered, what we've observed, I feel like they prioritize first engagement and community. And then it's more, well, also like how you align with the brand is very, very important. And then I feel like last comes in like following, kind of like your actual numbers of your following, when that used to be first. But I feel like your community and what kind of content you're creating is what brands are definitely looking for. And we can kind of like dive into all of those points too.
Yeah, because I feel like something that I have noticed recently, which I think is super amazing, is that smaller creators are getting amazing brand opportunities because the content that they're already putting out is what the brand is looking for in terms of content. And like, even though they don't have the highest following or they don't have the highest engagement, I think the brand really aligns with the type of content. Like say it's like a clean beauty brand and a creator has a very like clean, minimal aesthetic and they do like product reviews, then that's like a very easy, authentic fit because it's like the creator was already doing that, and then the brand can kind of seamlessly add their product into that so it doesn't look super forced or fake. Like it's already like the creator's already doing that. So it's like, okay, we'll just, you know, add a product, and like then their audience can't really tell it's an ad, you know, because it's like, oh, this is what they already do. So I think that's really kind of a good observation. So as encouragement, because it's like, if you don't have the biggest following, don't think you can't get the brand deals because you absolutely can. And it all comes down to like your profile. So that's kind of the first point is that we'll talk about is like engagement and the community and just truly focusing on your quality. I always get mixed up. Quality yes. over quantity in your profile and not just like mass producing content. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, but I think it was like 2018, 2019, where like literally three posts a day. No, reels did not exist. I don't even think stories were like kind of there, but like literally yeah. a post at 5 a.m., a post at noon, and a post at 7 p.m.
Like so like insane. Mass, did we have a life? Like mass, I'm confused.
No, I truly don't know. So like that used to kind of be the vibe and like who was posting like 2-3 times a day. Whereas like now it's definitely a focus on quality content.
Yeah.
Which as it should be.
Yeah. And like if you're posting that much, amazing. Just make sure you're not sacrificing your content to just be mass producing just because you think that's what you're supposed to do. Because I know on TikTok that's what they say to do, which like I just don't think that's necessarily true for everyone. You just have to be really yeah. careful because that is what brands are looking for. They're gonna look at your content. They don't care how much you're posting. They care if I feel like brands, the goal, a lot of the goal is to like also be able to use the content for themselves. So if they feel like you can right. create content where they're also like kind of gonna get a UGC sort of deal where they're gonna be able to have access to your content, like that is such a double win for them. So
just or even doing the collaborative post type yeah, situation true. Where it's like on both your profiles, it's like yeah, if the brand can seamlessly fit your content onto their feed, then it's almost a no-brainer because usually in brand deals and collaborations, that's kind of part of the contract is the brand gets organic use of your content on their feed. So it's like I don't know. I feel like that's the least they should be getting out of this. You know what I mean? Like when paying creators, they should be able to like repost that on their page because that's the whole point. They need content of their products
yeah.
on their feed.
Right.
As well as like the exposure and the reach from your feed. So mm-hmm. it's like, I feel like those are kind of like the main things that brands are like looking for when it comes to choosing creators and you know, picking certain types of content that they want to work with. So I always think that's definitely really interesting to see. And again, like we said, you don't have to have a huge following anymore to really make good money. We see girls now with like 10K, 20K being full-time. And like when we started, that would have never been a thing. Mm-hmm. But since the industry has progressed so much and honestly such a short time that you, as long as you create an engaged community and like your audience trusts you and like what you're selling and products that you're recommending, I feel like brands really, really value that. And that's kind of where ROI is becoming more and more important. So like that's return on investment. So your link clicks, like affiliate linking, like on LTK and your commissions, or being able to show a brand like, hey, I posted your product and this many people DM'd me for a link. Mm. Like just having that, those stats and that feedback from your audience, I think is really helpful when trying to get in front of a brand and work with a brand. So I feel like those are things to kind of always think about as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then doing just little things to create a more engaged community. It can be as small as responding to comments, like actually responding to people in your DM, sending people links, things like that, just being engaging with your current audience. And then before you're just starting to reach out to like a whole new one, mm-hmm. yeah, just focusing on building a community. I feel like that inherently increases your engagement too. And that's definitely something brands look at.
I think it's also interesting. We talk about this a lot too, but there's a surprising amount of creators who do not respond to their comments, like don't engage at all, like not even a like. And I get it. Like, you know, sometimes people are really busy and don't have time or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's like you're literally here because of your community. So it's always just shocking to me.
I always feel bad. Like, because it's like, have at least yeah, like an someone hour or something to respond to.
Someone is like spending their time to comment something or like ask you a question or like ask for a link. And it's like, it's literally our job to send like links. Like, we're out here posting outfit inspo, makeup inspo, whatever it is. And then, you have your audience asking you for a link. And it's like, if you don't send it, then it's gonna kind of tell that person, like, oh, hey, this person doesn't respond to DMs. Like, I'm not gonna respond or I'm not gonna send DMs anymore. And I feel like it kind of trains the audience to like not be engaged. It's like, oh, she never responds. Like, why would I ask her? But if you're, find that balance and like if you're, you get a DM or like if you get a lot of DMs, maybe just post on your story and be like, hey, I saw a lot of DMs. I can't answer all of them, but like, here's the link to this product. Or just like being actively engaged and like commenting back if you can. And like, again, I know we all get busy. We all have a lot to do, but it's like truly we are here because of our audiences and our community. So I feel like a little engagement doesn't hurt, you know? It's just honestly, to us at least, it's part of the job and part of like what we're doing. So I definitely think that is an important aspect. And I do think that brands are starting to look in comment sections and they're starting to see like, does this creator engage with their audience? Does this, do, are people, are your comments like, oh, so cute girl? Or is it like, oh my gosh, like cute skirt. Can you send me the link? Like they're really, I feel like brands are getting really smart and they're starting to kind of dive into comments or like I've seen some creative briefs being like, okay. And like, part of it is like, you have to like respond to comments, which is like honestly crazy
Yeah, I've
because I'm
seen
like,
that
aren't we doing that
too.
anyway? But I guess we have to say it. So
Yeah, I feel
definitely
like at the end of the day, it just like
something to keep in mind.
paints the bigger picture of who you are with your audience and how your audience trusts you. So,
Yeah, like it plays into that.
yeah.
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 Yeah. And I honestly,
I would
yeah,
be,
I
if
mean,
I
I
was the brand,
just,
I would be doing that as
yeah,
well. I would
exactly.
literally
That's what
only be
I'm
working
like.
with girls that are doing all of that.
Right. 'Cause it's just like, why would a brand pick a creator who's just gonna, post and ghost? And like, we all have to post and ghost occasionally. Like, it's fine. But like, if you go through multiple posts and there's no engagement with the community, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's more of like a long-term vision for your brand and just strategy in general. It's like, again, if you aren't responding to your community, they're gonna learn that it's like a learned behavior from you that like they're not gonna engage with you because you don't respond. They're gonna ask someone else for a link that they know will respond. They're like, oh, this girl always like responds to my questions or DMs. Like, I'm actually gonna message her. You know what I mean? So I just think it's like a smart business decision and strategy, and also just like the community thing to do to respond to your audience in whatever capacity you can. So,
Yeah, I
definitely
agree.
interesting. But I feel like that's probably one of the most important things that you could probably focus on in terms of like everything that we just talked about, basically, when brands are looking for talent and who they're choosing. I feel like all those things are like, would that would fall under probably my number one list of importance. If that makes sense. But the next one is brand alignment. And I feel like we briefly touched on this, but again, like having a similar brand image and just making sure brands, they want to work with creators who are just a seamless fit, like nothing that's forced. And it's like, if your aesthetics are similar, like I feel like that's a really good start. That doesn't mean you're gonna like work with this brand, but I feel like that's a good starting point. And then, pitching yourself or whatever. But sometimes I also feel like it's hard not to take it personally when if a brand doesn't choose you based on your aesthetic, it like feels like a personal attack sometimes. But I think it's important to remember that like this is a business as well, because it's like for us, I feel like those lines are blurry sometimes. We're like, okay, this is a
Yeah, it's
business,
a
but this is
business.
also
Yeah, but
personal.
it's also our business is our entire
Our
life.
life. So I'm like, I take it personally that you don't like my life. But you have to remember, like, not to think of it that way, just because, again, for the brand, it is business. And sometimes it's just not a good fit. Like, I've literally had brands tell me that my feed is too moody. And like, That's fine. Like, I get it.
And
like,
I don't know how you would even incorporate those brands into your
exactly
feed anyway.
It would be a weird post and it would be really stressful to like have to think of a way to make it work. So it's like, I'm probably not aligned with like a bright, summery, colorful brand. And like, that's okay. That's probably not the brands that I'm really targeting for partnerships anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, I'm okay with that. It's just like, at the beginning, you're like offended because you're like, wait, you don't like my content? Like, offended. But then it's like, well, duh. Like, it makes sense. Like, from a business standpoint. And like, I feel like once you hear it enough, and I've heard it so many times, I'm like, I get it. Like, I totally understand. Like, and I feel like a lot of times brands are like pretty nice about it. They're like, we love your aesthetic. Like, we love your content. Unfortunately, it just like, we don't align. And it's like, I'm not going to change my content to like fit their feed, you know? So just right. Like be kind of weird.
And that's like the biggest thing. You cannot change your aesthetic because your audience is going to know. Your audience is going to know if you're like kind of being a sellout in a sense. Like if you're just like changing your whole
vibe.
And
it's all happened to us.
Yeah.
It has happened to all of us.
Yeah, it has. But like at the end of the day, yeah, you can't take it personal. You can't change your brand aesthetic because it's just going to open the door for another brand that does fit your aesthetic and your entire brand to come along and be the perfect fit for you. So yeah, don't take it personally, especially if you see other people in the space getting a certain collab and like it obviously doesn't feel great if that brand doesn't choose you, but that is unfortunately part of the industry and you learn that as you go. And sometimes you just have to remind yourself mm-hmm. that. I feel like we still have to do that because yeah, it is our life and it does feel like a personal hit, but it's not. So just your reminder.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely creative ways you can incorporate certain things into your content yeah. if that's something you want to do. Like I feel like I don't really post vacation content a lot, but like when I do travel or go on vacation, I try to make it as like similar of my vibe as possible, but vacation, so that when I post that, I can show a brand like, hey, like I know I don't post a ton of vacation, but here's a previous vacation feed that I have. So like if like when I go on a trip, like this is what my content is going to look like. Like, do you want to partner on this? Because that way they can see it more. Because it's like if they're just looking at my feed and I haven't gone on vacation recently, they're like, oh, this girl just posts like blazers and street style yeah. and sneakers. Like she's not going to post in her bikini. And I'm like, I totally understand where they see that and where they're coming from. Because when you look at my feed, that's what you see. But, you know, when I did go on vacation, this is what my feed looked like. And I feel like that helps the brand kind of understand like, oh, okay, like we can see our product there more.
Yeah.
Now that we've seen that. So, but again, yeah, like you said, it's a learning process, but like being okay with that rejection, because rejection is just redirection and redirecting you to a brand that is more aligned anyway. And you can't check everyone's boxes. You can't be everything to everyone. And I feel like that applies to our industry too. And that's like just such a good thing to remember, is just like not everyone's going to like you and you're not for everyone. And honestly, that's okay. Cause I feel like honestly, like why would you want to be that? Like that's too much. Like stick with what you are, your brand, like what you like, and the right brands will come to you. Like you'll find
yeah.
the right partnerships. And I feel like I don't like struggle because I post neutrals. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like colorful brands like don't really reach out, but it's like also colorful brands also sell products in like white and black mm-hmm. and like beige, you know what I mean? So I always try to like focus on whenever I get sent a line G with like selects, like that's what I'm leaning towards. But like that's fine because that's like products that they're wanting to push and like it still fits with my feed. So there's a good kind of crossover there. So it's like I can still make it work and it's not – it's just like when it really comes to the colorful stuff that
yeah.
brands are like, oh, no, like too moody. And I'm like, I get it. I understand and I agree.
Yeah. We're not a fit.
We are not a fit, but like still love you. Thank you. So.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just like this kind of like respect in the industry and it's like fine. Like I'm not expecting every single brand to like want to work with me, especially if it the brand alignment isn't there. You know, because then it kind of like, I feel like when you work with brands, it affects your brand too, because you're kind of like putting your brand out there
yeah.
with that brand, if that makes sense. So
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, so another thing, that's what they're looking for, to see if you align with their brand, to also for them to be able to use your content on their socials. And then of course they're looking at your following, your own brand, how you're showing up online. I feel like that's a really good question to ask yourself, because I feel like if you don't really know where you fall, I would just ask someone else that's close to you that you trust their opinion. Like, how do you view my profile and who I am online? And maybe they can give you some helpful insight if you're kind of like, okay, I don't, like, sometimes I'm colorful, sometimes I'm neutral, like, I don't really know what my brand is. Like, I feel like it's good to get some feedback in there. And then I feel like it's really good to ask yourself, like, what kind of brands you're trying to attract or work with, because I feel like you don't have to super be in a niche, but sometimes it's kind of helpful, especially narrowing down, like, who you want to work with. And I feel like that's when you really narrow in on, like, attracting a lot of brands in certain niches, if that makes sense, like fashion and hair, or like fashion and beauty, or, you know, home and fashion, other things like that. So just good questions to ask yourself, really.
Yeah, I feel like the niche thing is such a controversial topic, because I feel like nowadays people are like, oh, you don't need a niche. Mm-hmm. But like when we started, it was like niche down hard, like be so specific. But I think it's just important to kind of find a balance. And I do genuinely think if you are starting out, like having a niche does help, because it's like when people come to your profile, again, it's like, what are you showing up as? Like, what kind of content are you putting out? Like, why are they going to come back, and why are they going to hit that follow button? But if you're kind of like all over the place and they don't really know who you are yet, then it can be a little confusing. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, yeah. I think. And then I think that's why you see once creators get a little bigger and they've, you know, had some growth, then they kind of start to branch out, because they've spent that time building their audience. They've spent that time building trust and rapport and like really connecting with their audience, so they know who they are on a personal level. And then once you have that trust, you can kind of like be like, oh, and I kind of like this beauty product too. And like, mm-hmm. this is kind of like my recipe. And like your audience kind of wants to see more of your daily life and routine, and then you kind of start incorporating more of that stuff. So I mean, I personally think it helps if you're starting out to have some sort of focus, at least pick one or two things.
Yeah, I agree. I also feel like you can niche down on your aesthetic, and then that can overflow into a bunch of different things. Like, there are some girls, like, you know, their aesthetic is like, for example, like Coquette, like the girly girlies, their makeup and their products and their home, like, it's all that aesthetic. And then the neutral like girlies are like
in their closets. Yeah.
The neutral girlies, like, you know exactly what to expect across like kind of all niches. So I feel like you could even just niche down your aesthetic. And I feel like we're seeing that more and more now.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like that's a really good point, because also I feel like a hot take. I feel like so many people say aesthetic doesn't matter, but I literally don't believe them.
I think it matters. I feel like it came back around.
I think people say that it doesn't matter, but I think our brains are just naturally trained to recognize aesthetic, whether you like it or not. And I think like our brains are just attracted to it. So I think they're just going to have a stronger response. So that's why I feel like it's just important not to follow trends just because someone says that like aesthetic doesn't matter. And it's just like, you know, like I feel like do what feels right for you. And like having an aesthetic is not bad. And I feel like I hate that like social media has like put on this like face of like, yeah, like we don't like aesthetics, like it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Like I wholeheartedly disagree with that. And you could have any aesthetic. You could have like a messy lifestyle aesthetic, but like that is still an aesthetic.
Yeah, I feel
or
like
you could have a neutral, minimal, clean one. Mm-hmm. Like that's what attracts people's brains without them even realizing. And I feel like that's kind of what gets them to hit the follow button.
Yeah, like you know? If you think about it, if I'm in like a hurry trying to get inspo for something, like I know the girls I'm going to go to for different things based on their aesthetic. Yeah. I feel like it's
and,
more
like, you
so
know their aesthetic and you know what they're delivering.
I feel like people are trying to move away. Like, maybe they say aesthetic, but they mean like the curation, which like also is kind of still the same thing. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like, I think what people really mean is like moving away from that, like a perfection.
Yeah.
But I feel like the perfection is getting confused with aesthetic because like you can still be aesthetic and it, but you don't have like a perfect feed per se.
Yeah. I feel like it's funny because aesthetic can mean so many different things because aesthetic could just mean overall curated, vibe. Perfect. like she is aesthetic, but then like you have your own aesthetic. So we need another word. I feel like it's there's so many different ways you could use the word, but whatever it means to you and like what you like and how that carries through.
But don't feel like you have to quote unquote get rid of your aesthetic because someone said aesthetics are out. Because,
yeah, like, take a shot, you guys, for when we say aesthetic. I think we said it like 40 times in the past minute. I love that. But you guys get it. I know you do.
Yes. Okay, now I literally lost my train of thought. What were we talking about besides aesthetic?
I know. We were talking about like what, asking yourself, like what kind of brands
who are you
to work with
up?
And attract? Yes. Like what's my aesthetic? Take a shot. just making sure you're like being very authentic to yourself and not.
Yeah.
Creating a different persona just to work with a certain brand sort of thing.
Yeah. And also just like not choosing kind of a brand based on like, you know, who pays a lot or who does a ton of collabs. Like I feel like long-term strategy and just like long-term business goals and decisions, it's so important to turn down brands who are not authentic to you, no matter what the paycheck looks like, because I feel like audiences can and communities can see right through it. Like, they just see that BS from so far away. And I agree with that. And I just feel like you're only going to hurt yourself, you know, when it comes down to that, because it's like, it's your business, your brand, and like your audience's trust is literally everything. It's truly like what our businesses are built on, basically, is like our community's trust.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I feel like that'll just help make sure that what you're doing is sustainable. And also, I feel like that'll help prevent burnout too. Because if you're trying to be all these things, like we were saying earlier, you're trying to be all these vibes.
Yes.
You're trying to just be like all these different things. Then it's just like, it's going to be so overwhelming. It's going to be so exhausting. You're just going to experience burnout. And that's not fun at all. Like, and I feel like almost everyone probably experiences that. So it's a good way to avoid that is to just truly know who you're showing up as, what your brand is, and that'll really help kind of with a brand choosing you to work with them on a campaign, essentially, or like how they kind of choose their creators.
And like you're going to know to create.
Also, I was thinking too, like sometimes we just don't know what brands are looking for. Like sometimes we want to work with a brand and like you feel like you're aligned and you feel like you have similar audiences, similar styles, similar aesthetics, and they just don't keep choosing you and you're just like, what is going on? And sometimes that happens. So that is also a reminder, like just keep doing you and keep showing up on how you've decided you want to show up, and either that brand will come around or another brand will come. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It is wild out there, you guys.
Yeah, it's like some, obviously we don't have all the answers. This is just based on our years of observations and what other people are saying in the industry. But yeah, it can be the Wild West and you just will get a pass for no reason and you just got to accept it and move on.
From experience, LOL.
Yeah.
I think another thing that can help too is making a quote unquote dream brand list just to help manifest those partnerships, but also help you with your vision at the end of the day. Because I feel like we have so much going on in our brains at all times. We're constantly looking for inspo. We are constantly pitching ourselves. We are constantly doing back end business things. We're trying to style. We're trying to plan for trips. We're trying to connect with our audience. Like we are doing so much in our brains that it's like sometimes I feel like your vision can easily get lost. You kind of just are in this chaotic state and you're just like, I don't really know what's going on right now. So I feel like creating a list can really help narrow down your vision. And that way you're like, okay, these are brands that I know I want to work with. I know they have budget. I know that our aesthetics align. Like, this is a goal brand for me. And I feel like go through and like write down a list and then really look at it and be like, okay, are these brands like, do we align? Does this fit my brand? When I'm showing up on social media, is this a seamless fit or is this forced? And I feel like that'll kind of help get rid of some chaos. And I feel like it just helps you kind of stay on track. And like, it also helps you know who to follow up with, or maybe like who to tag or who to mention or who to just kind of like start putting feelers out there. I don't know. I feel like that's something that's always helped me, is like writing it down. Cause like sometimes I feel like our manager will be like, okay, like what brands do you want to work with? And then I like fill out this form and then I don't write it down and I literally forget who I said. And I'm like, okay, what did I just say? I don't know. So I started writing it down for myself and I feel like I have such a better vision, and it helps. It honestly just helps me feel more organized. Even if it's not accomplishing anything in the moment, it just, it helps me feel better about the organization.
I feel like you're kind of like also setting intentions and working toward something, and that's always like in your head. And I just am a huge believer of manifesting, and that's sending that energy into the universe. And so that's a good idea. I feel like I always say I want to make one every quarter, and I need to remind myself. I need to like set a reminder or something.
Yeah, I feel like for me, like I just like, again, have a lot going on in my brain. So it's like I need to take it out of my brain and put it down on a piece of paper or a note or whatever. And I feel like I just kind of have like, it's, I feel like mine is more of an ongoing note. Mm-hmm. So like if I have a brand that I want to work with, that's like a dream brand, I just like put it on this note.
Yeah.
And then that way I have it.
Good idea. So,
and I feel like, yeah, that really, really helps. So if you're feeling a little lost or you're feeling kind of stuck in some chaos, maybe try doing that, because I feel like that helps so many different aspects without you even realizing. Mm-hmm. It's helping you manifest. It's helping you with your vision. It's helping with your business strategy and your goals and like your aesthetic and who you're showing up as. So I feel like that's a really good tip to do if you haven't done that yet. And it's not like it's not like it's like a New Year resolution, or it's like, it's something that can be like ever changing. Like it's always being updated. If you don't feel like you align with a brand anymore, take it off your list. Like no problem. You know what I mean? So it's like an active list, which I feel like is really nice to have. Whereas like New Year's resolutions are like, okay, like I set this in stone. This is like my New Year's goal. And you feel like you can't like waver from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So definitely recommend doing that. A question you guys might have is, how are brands measuring campaign success? And again, this has definitely changed over the years. Now I think conversion is probably one of the number one things. That's your ROI. So that's like sales, link clicks, code uses, collaborative posts. So the brands like have the posts on your feed and their feed, and they can kind of see the insights and engagement on it. I feel like I've seen a lot more brands requesting that recently.
I personally really, really think that your engagement goes down when you do a collaborative post. Like
I agree.
I just don't.
But like brands love it.
Yeah, they brands like love it. But like, because usually brands don't have good engagement. And so like, obviously you're going to get the engagement of the person you're collaborating with. But as a creator, I really hate them. And like, I don't like when brands do it, but like, of course I'll do it if they need it. But yeah, I think conversions, ROI is like obviously the number one thing, because you can create like quality content all you want, but if someone else has like a more engaged community and they are constantly buying from this creator, brands are probably going to work with that creator, because at the end of the day, like it's a business and they need to see the conversion and ROI. But there's other ways that you can do conversions, not in like a monetary sense, but this is super important. So I feel like this is always a good one.
Yeah, like we were talking about earlier, is like, is your audience engaged in your comments saying like, oh my gosh, love the skirt. Like, can you link it? Like, mm-hmm. are they saying that? Are they sending you DMs? Like, hey, can you send me the link for that? Cause I feel like when you're going to, you know, submit your final reports at the end of a partnership, like showing that, that type of engagement that maybe a brand doesn't actually see up front in terms of sales, but they can see like, oh, our audience was really like responsive to this post, like, you know, the DMs, the links. Cause like, I don't know. I feel like I'm always torn between this, but like, I feel like part of it is frustrating because it's like, we are recommending these products, but like so many times, or like, you never even know how many people like will see your post and then maybe remember it 3 days later and then go buy it on the website and they don't use your link. Or like, if you don't have a code, there's no way to track it. Or like, if the website has like a better code at the time, then like, they're obviously going to use that code and not your code. Yeah, so it's just like, there's so many factors at play. And like, even I'm guilty of this. Like, I saw someone's like post about something, and then like a couple days later, I just like went online and bought it. It was like a creator that I don't know. I would use a creator's link that I know to be supportive, but like, it's like a creator to know that I just like went and bought it. But it's like, it made me think like,
that probably happens all the time. How many
times does this happen? And like, it probably happens so much, but there's no tracking on it. So sometimes it definitely is hard to tell. So I feel like I'm always having this internal discussion with myself with conversion versus like high quality content. And honestly, I think they're like, it's a very close race of like which one is more important, because I feel like it just depends on the brand and what their preference is. Because if they're like some brands are like so sales driven, like they want to work with girls who drive sales, like have code usage, like that's their goal. But then again, like we were talking about earlier, some creators who have a smaller following, maybe don't have like the highest engagement, like they have average engagement, but they create really clean, good quality content. Mm-hmm. They work with really good brands too. So I feel like at this point in time, you could probably go either way. If sales like might not be your strong point right now and you're working on building that up, like really focusing on creating that high quality content. And like, I feel like that could kind of lead into like exposure and impressions. Because then maybe with your really good content, you'll hit the explore feed, you'll get, you know, impressions that way. And then that also gets the brand name out there. So I feel like sometimes brands forget that creators are not salespeople. And like, it's like a statistically known thing that the sales process usually takes about 7 touches, which means like someone has to like see their product 7 times before they're actually ready to make a purchase. So I always just think about these things. Like, these are things I think about.
I feel like brands are starting to understand that like, you really, if you really prioritize ROI and you want to see that return, like a long-term collaboration is the only way to go. Like, in most cases, there are some creators out there like,
that's the that one thing I don't get is when brands do a discount code for like 3 days.
3 days, and like, I also have like, never understood like, that either. Like, do it for at least a month.
At least. Like, why not 3 months? Why not 6 months? Like, it doesn't hurt, because that way I feel like the creator can organically push your product without like you paying them to post. Like, if they know their code is still active and they actually genuinely like their products and they're posting about it, then they can still share their code.
Yeah.
And if like other creators have codes at the same time, why does it hurt? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so weird to me, but there must be some strategy behind that that I just don't understand or something. So
yeah, I feel like long-term collaborations are the way to go. And I feel like brands are getting it, so we'll see. But yeah, I feel like exposure and impressions are so valuable too. Truly so valuable, especially if your content kind of, I don't know. I mean, I guess this kind of leads into engagement. If you're going viral, you're creating a conversation that is so valuable, truly valuable. So valuable, mm-hmm. because that's like reaching new audiences, new people that the brand might not even be reaching, and just like whole new
different audiences. Feel like that's Tarte strategy. Like, they don't care what people are saying at the brand about the brand. Like, as long as you are talking about them, their goal is accomplished. And I feel like every time they do a trip, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Even like the haters, even like the comments, people like commenting on the creators' videos, like I'm going to stop shopping at Tarte. Like, I'm throwing all my product in the trash. Like,
no, you're not.
Great. Your comment just, yeah, one, you know, you're not. And two, your comment just boosted this creator's content. And it's like pushing the content out to even more people because more people are engaging on it. So it's like, you know, and there's all those fights in the comments. It's like,
sometimes I wonder like if that. She's just like saying, you know, girls, say whatever you want. The more more controversial, the better. Like, say whatever you want. Go wild. We don't care. That's the vibe I get from her, which I love that.
But I feel like it works because, yeah, it like, does. When the Tarte trip is happening, that's literally the only thing that people are talking about.
Yeah.
And that's creating that virality and the conversation is happening. So,
yeah,
definitely something to think about for sure. And then, yeah, content in general, I think quality content is always king. It's so important when content is queen. Might be. But it's like, if I feel like the brands get such value when they can use that content on their socials, because in my opinion, I buy way more things when I see it on like UGC, like more just like normal people content versus I'm blanking, I'll always go to the
review photos over whatever's on the website. Like, I literally don't care what's on the website.
Exactly. Show me like the stock products or the stock
show
photos.
Me the janky like, mirror photo IRL. Of some girly with no makeup on. Like, that's what I want to see.
Yes. And I feel like whenever I buy things, like, that's what I'm like going into the brands, like tagged photos, and I'm trying to find someone who's like wearing it IRL, like out in the wild, just to like see how the material actually falls or how it actually fits. Cause I feel like so many times, like, I will see my friends post an outfit and then I will go look on the website and like, I feel like my friend like looks so much better in the product than like the website photo. And I'm website scrolling, I would never purchase that. But like, because I saw it on social media, like on someone actually wearing it, it's so cute.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes there are pieces like that. I'm like, I would just never buy that if I just saw the website. But because I saw it on someone, like, I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. And it's like so crazy. There can be such a difference. But I think brands really value that. And also right now, just as an observation, I feel like I guess it would be a TikTok style video, but like the talking reels of like outfit getting readies, like,
yeah,
our brands, I think, kind of like that right now. So if that's your style, I would focus kind of on posting that or just like literally talking while getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like I've seen creators. I feel like this is a good example. I've seen smaller creators who don't have a huge following and who don't have like super high engagement, but they create these really clean either product tutorials or like getting ready outfit videos. And like, they work with really good brands because I think brands really like that content.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, you know, that content where the girlies are standing in front of a window with really good lighting and they're like getting ready, like super cute. So I feel like that's another way to either have the potential opportunity for UGC or to actually get, you know, paid partnerships with brands for your feed. So
yeah. Okay. Also, I feel like, wait, was that everything for, yeah, I feel like that's kind of how brands measure success. Last thing we want to cover before we end this long episode, how do you get a brand's attention? Maybe you're doing all of this and it's just not really working, or you're frustrated. I feel like this happens a lot. Here's our little advice. I feel like one of the biggest things that we've talked about before is organically buying and supporting from a brand is so important. And we've talked to brands where they said that's how they find their creators, is literally from organic, just organically seeing it on socials. And also, a lot of brands want to kickstart relationships because they only work with creators who organically post the brand. I've started to see that a lot. So definitely a huge, huge way to get a brand's attention. Tag them in any way you can. If you can't buy the product, post them on your stories. Like, maybe you're doing a what's in my cart sort of thing. Like, tag them so they can see it and just start the conversation. Like, maybe do a Q&A, mention the brand, be like, I really love this brand. And whatever, they're going to see it and you're going to get on their radar.
I feel like we've listened to a ton of podcasts that have the founders of like small businesses or just brands in general. And I swear every single founder or owner always mentions that they just appreciate anyone who purchases their product organically, posts about it and tags them. I think it means so much, especially small businesses. And I feel like that's such a good way as an in. Like, I feel like I've never had the mindset of like, well, I'm not buying from that brand. Like, they should just send it to me. Like, I just think that's such a toxic thought process to have. And like, it goes such a long way when you purchase from a brand. Like, I still purchase from brands that like I work with, from small brands I try to support. Like, I think it's so important. And also, I feel like it's kind of a way for creators to kind of give back, because we do get so much that it's like these, and even like creator started brands, like I just feel like it goes a long way if you're able to purchase the product, share and tag. And I feel like that's like a perfect like way to get an introduction into the brand or build a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like that's happened so many times, like, or even just showing your enthusiasm about it. And just like Danielle said, like sharing it on stories, or like if they have a new launch, like posting your favorite piece, or like if you see someone wearing it and you like their outfit, you can post it on their story as like outfit inspo and be like, I love these earrings that they're wearing from this brand or whatever. And like, I just feel like being enthusiastic and actually caring about a brand, like this has happened so many times. Like, for example, when we were at the FabFitFun event, I was like so excited for Dibs. And I did not realize, I think she's like the influencer marketing director or something like that. Like, did not realize that's who she was. I thought she worked for FabFitFun. And she was like, oh my gosh, like I'll send you some product. And I was like, okay, cool. And I thought she was just like FabFitFun. And then she ended up DMing me later that day. And I looked at her bio and her profile and it like said Dibs. And I was like, oh my gosh, like just from like being excited about this Dibs stick.
So cute.
Like in front of everyone, or just like, remember when I wore that local European, the parachute pants to the Revolve 4th of July event, and like the owner, the founder, she literally was there.
So funny.
And like, she was like so excited to like see someone wearing her product out in public.
So cute.
And
I would too. Love
those pants. But like, right. But that's like, that's how you have to think about it. And like, she ended up DMing me, and like now, like, I feel like I engage on their content all the time. And like, I've like connected with the founder and the brand, and they send me like their new arrivals. And it's just like such an organic way to start a relationship with a brand. And I honestly think that's like truly one of the best ways you can do it, because like these owners are just so excited that you're, you know, supporting their brand, wearing it, tagging it in any capacity. Like truly anything helps. And like, if you are not at the state of being able to do that, truly just engaging on their socials, like follow them, like all their posts, comment on them, like all of that also helps these brands too. So like, there's so many different ways to organically get a brand's attention and to just talk about a product, especially if you love it, especially if it's something that you're always using, like so easy.
Yeah. So also, I feel like on that note, I feel like a really good way also is simply follow the brand and engage on their content. Like, they'll probably notice you. I feel like not many people, they don't get that many comments. So I feel like that's a good way.
Right, so they'll notice.
Yeah, I also have seen, I saw this like small brand. The owner, she like was posting a TikTok about how she is like flabbergasted. Is that the word? At all these influencers who DM her asking to get product for free, and then they don't even follow the brand. And she's like, I don't know if this is just like a me thing, but I find it so disrespectful that you can't even like follow my brand and organically engage in it in such a small way, but then ask for product. And I was like, honestly,
it's literally so crazy. I still get DMs like that for summer buns. And it's just like so wild to me. Like these creators like don't even follow the account. Like they've never made a purchase. They don't engage on the content. I'm just like, that is not a good look. And you have to put yourself on the other side of it. If you're a brand, like how would you react to that when you have so many girls probably reaching out for products? Like, you're probably going to pick the girl who's at least following you. who probably engages. And if they've made a purchase, like, definitely. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just a way to set yourself apart. And I feel like another kind of strategy that's like still organic you can do is like respond to stories. Because like, I feel like when you respond to a brand's stories, it like ends up in their DMs and then they read it. So that's just another way to kind of engage and stand out and like just show the brand love, even if nothing really comes from it. It's just another way to kind of like put yourself out
there. Yeah, you want it to make sense for the brand to work for you. And I just feel like making it so it's almost awkward if they say no. Like, why would you say no? Like, we're friends. Mm-hmm. Like, we're friends. If it's I such support a seamless you. Fit. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like that's a good way to think about it. Just make it make sense for the brand to work with you and just have these little points in mind.
And then it's like once you kind of get to that point, then like the last step is to just pitch them an idea. We say this all the time, but you don't want to sit back and just wait for the brand to like reach out to you. Like, this brand is probably getting so many inquiries from influencers every single day. So it's like, how are they going to pick someone? So again, make it easy for them and pitch them an actual idea or like a collaboration, like mood board or just like something you have in mind, especially like, oh, I'm going on this trip and like, I'd love to bring your product here or, you know, whatever the situation is. I think if you can kind of create that vision for them, then like you said, make it hard for them to say no or just make it make sense. So they're like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, we love this idea. We'd love to like work with you on this like collaboration. Or, oh yeah, we're actually launching a summer collection and we'd love for you to like feature our project, our products when you travel. And then it's like, if you're going to like a really cool place, then the brand is going to get content at this really cool place. But then that's where it comes into play to have high quality content so that the brand can make it worthwhile and use your content for the new launch. So it all, like, everything really kind of ties together. But I feel like that's just kind of like the overall how to get a brand's attention, what brands are looking for, how to make it work, how to stand out. Like, truly just this is like what we do and this is kind of our strategies. So yeah, I feel like that was a lot of information, I feel like. But I feel like this was a really good episode with a lot of really good tips, and it's things that we do like still and that we work on and like things that we have to remember. So hopefully you guys really liked this episode as much as we did, and it helps and really can help you kind of set yourself apart or get you a dream brand collaboration or just help you kind of get your vision and like where you want to go with it. So
yeah.
If you made it this far, as always, thank you so much. We love you guys. That was like so much talking, I feel like. But
I know.
Do you want to share a listener of the week?
Yes, our listener of the week is Margaret McAdam. Her Instagram handle is MCADAM McAdam. She is a South of France girly. She's joining us on the trip and we are so excited for her to join us. She is also a very stunning neutral style girly. Love the aesthetic. It's like, if you love Alyssa's aesthetic, you'll love hers. Just like really vibey reels. She also does a lot of really cute home content. So just great inspo all around. So shout out to you, Margaret. We appreciate you and we're so excited to go to the south of France together.
So excited to travel with you and make the best memories this summer.
Yes.
So we still have, oh, we only have 5 spots left. So so crazy. So yeah, we would love to travel with you guys. As always, if you have any questions, please let us know. We're so excited. It's such a great group of girls and we're going to like such a stunning place. Like, I can just feel it. Everything is already going to be
It's going to be so literally magical. Perfect. I cannot wait.
Yeah. So excited for that trip coming up. I feel like it's going to come up so fast. I can't even believe it. But yeah. We are off to all the Coachella things this week. I feel like next week our episode will probably come out Tuesday, if not Wednesday.
I forgot.
If not the following week, depending on our mental state.
Yeah, it is draining. We're going kind of hard this year.
We're going kind of hard because we didn't go last year because we were in Italy for a wedding. So we're like, back at it, all cool events and opportunities. So we're going to try to do what we can, but we're not going to go too crazy, but you never know what's going to happen. So next week's episode, stay tuned
on the stories. If you see us going really freaking hard on the stories, maybe be like, okay, they're going to be exhausted, but we'll see.
We'll try our best, but like mental health first. But we love you guys and thank you so much if you made it all the way through this. We're so grateful for your guys' support always and hope you guys have the best week and happy solar eclipse, right? Solar. Yeah. Yes. Solar eclipse day. So exciting. Wear your solar eclipse sunglasses. Don't look at the sun directly. Protect your eyes. Okay. Don't get sunburned on your eyes. Okay. Love you guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.